brethren. Walter Raychuk has served the Vancouver Convention many times, and we've always been blessed by his services, and we're really looking forward to this one, and nice to see that he's doing so well. The subject for us this afternoon is entitled Quails and Manna. Brother Walter.
Dear brethren, Sister Wanda and I are very happy to be with you here in convention. We bring you the love from our son David and our daughter Deborah. And as already mentioned by Brother John, we again bring you the love from your brethren in Winnipeg. As many of you know, that year 1991 was quite an eventful year for me. Undergoing open-heart surgery. But just want to thank the brethren for your concerns, your prayers, your letters, and your cards. I am feeling stronger, and which I thank the Lord. Also want wish to thank Brother Charlie and Sister Ruth for their hospitality, that they opened their home to us. Very glad to see Brother Carl and Brother Wilf McNee, whom we have known for years. And years do pass by and changes do come about in our physical conditions. So this does open our hearts and with sympathy to those that are undergoing various trials of mind or body. And as we are hoping to be those merciful high priests, brethren, I think all these lessons are necessary, that we learn the lessons here in our earthly pilgrimage. As was mentioned, our subject for today is quails and manna. As you will remember, the nation, the Israelites, were in Egypt. They were in bondage. Now, the apostle does tell us that this is a type for an antitype. And we remember these words, that what he did with them, and it was a miracle. They were a stiff-necked nation. They were stubborn. And yet he dealt with them. And we can relate this to ourselves. Many of us are stiff-necked, are stubborn, and yet the Lord graciously deals with us. So we have lessons for us, brethren, that are very valuable. And I'm sure in our studies that we have at home, and we keep learning, and conventions such as this and others, it's a place where we can be refreshed. And I'm sure we were refreshed during these 2 days, and we come to the close. And I must say that I appreciate the spirit of the convention, and I enjoy the testimonies and the discourses, and we've got a lot to take back home with us. Our lesson is found in Exodus, the 16th chapter. And this is when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and they were to be led to the promised land. We're going to read Exodus 16 from 1 to 15 and also verse 35. And they took journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they shall gather daily on the sixth day. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, and even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning that ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that we murmur against us? And Moses says, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Now remember these words. Flesh in the evening, bread in the morning. For the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, and what are we? And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given to you. And then in verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited, and did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story, brethren. And our main concern today will be that what the Lord provides for us. We are well aware that we are under the Lord's protection, and we have to wait on him in all our affairs and our consecration. Young and old, those that have consecrated in the younger age should always look forward to the Lord, and he will provide. And you will notice that there were two miracles that the Lord provided. He gave them quails, and he gave them manna. And this is found in reprints 30-36. By these two miracles, Israel was taught the great lesson of confidence in God, that to him alone they were to look as their leader. To us, brethren, this applies not only in respect to earthly food, in supply of our physical necessities, but also to the heavenly food and the supply of all our spiritual needs. It teaches the same lesson that is expressed in our Lord's Prayer, namely, give us this day our daily bread. Now, the Lord's in the Lord's Prayer, this citation of give us this daily bread, brethren, does not only refer to the physical bread alone. It also refers to the spiritual. Give us this day our daily bread, both physical and spiritual. And then, as we know, brethren, that food is necessary to human sustenance under present conditions. So when we look at this lesson, brethren, we might just look at the lesson of the manna. But we're also going to look at the lesson of the quails. And it says that at even he provided quails for the Israelites also. And the comments on that in reprints 30-36, we quote, the Lord's supply of our earthly needs is perhaps best represented by the provision of quails. He overrules natural affairs to provide us the things needful, sometimes more and sometimes less abundantly. And as the Israelites doubtless ate of the quails not only at the time of their gathering, but preserved some of the quails for further use, so we, in respect to earthly things, are to use the things of this world as not abusing them. We are to use them wisely, remembering that while they come to us in the ordinary course of life, they are nevertheless God's provision and to be used with care and judgment. If the supply is abundant, we are to be thankful. And if the supply is deficient, we are to trust. So there are two lessons. We are not going to dwell too much on the physical, brethren, our natural needs, but we're going to dwell more on the manna, which is our main thrust of our lesson. But we should remember that the Lord does watch out for our earthly affairs, not only spiritual, because we do see our brethren the world over are in need. Not only in this country we have an abundant supply, but even here, if one cannot find employment, or if one runs into difficulty, or if one runs into sickness, there could be problems. So what do, brethren? We rely on the Lord. We have more, we can use it in the Lord's service. If we have less, we trust that the Lord will provide in some way with our interest in it and strivings to do what we can to secure supply for our daily needs. And this was, the experience that I had, brethren. I think brethren have heard about it, that I was with the company for 32 years and then just got laid off. Everybody, 350 employees. And at 52, where are you going to find work? Nobody wants you, because there are so many young brethren that need work. And yet by the Lord's overruling, brethren, the Lord provided. So whether young or old, brethren, we should take the lesson. As the Lord provided the quails for the Israelites, He will provide our temporal needs, because He knows those that serve Him, and He will supply their needs if they have their trust in Him. So in every affair of life, brethren, we are to trust in the Lord as the Israelites were, instead of murmuring, because the apostle does tell us that those that murmured, later they died. And the same thing could happen to us. If we murmur in the truth, brethren, we can die, first of all, spiritually. And if we go too far, we could even end up in the second death. So we have to be very careful. But we want to carry our thought a little further and to draw our attention, brethren, to the higher life than the present one. Because I think our Lord also told us that we are not to worry so much as the things that we need, because the Lord knows about them. But we have to strive to make our calling and election sure. And we want the spiritual food to be nourished as to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We know, brethren, that by faith we have come into relationship with God through Christ, that we have passed from death unto life. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son shall not see life. And whether it's going to be on the spiritual plane, or whether it's going to be the great company, or whether it's going to be the world, or whether it's going to be angels or principalities, as you read in Galatians 1:10, no one will receive life, brethren, if they do not have the Son. So how important it is for us that we will see from this lesson, brethren, how we are to gather spiritual food daily for our sustenance and growth as new creatures in Christ Jesus. In John 6:51, our Lord said, "I am the bread which cometh down from heaven." The Israelites were happy that God led them out of Egypt. His guidance over them was in the wilderness, under a cloudy pillar by day and under a fiery pillar by night. This means the Lord's guidance in all their affairs. Sometimes they settled in one area and then the cloud would move or the fiery pillar would move. They had to proceed. Whether it was in the daytime or nighttime, it didn't matter. This means the Lord's guidance in all our affairs. Sometimes the Lord guides us in a peculiar ways. But we must go forward. It was intended of the Lord as a type or shadow for spiritual Israel. Our journey in the narrow way is for a long time. It was for instruction in righteousness, and especially instruction to have strong faith and patience. And I'm sure that we can all relate to this, brethren, that in the truth you need a lot of patience. And I think Revelation 3:10 bears this out, that you have kept my word of patience. I will keep you in the hour of temptation. We must be patient with the Lord and wait on him. Sometimes by nature we are not patient, but I think this is just a weakness. But in general, we have to wait on the Lord. Israel began to murmur, and after 3 days in the wilderness, they cried that the water was brackish, or salty. We read this in Exodus 15:22-24. Moses cried to the Lord in faith, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the water, which acted as a medicine, and the waters became sweet and fit to drink. Another lesson of faith to them, that they should trust fully in the Lord in his leadings. And we know, brethren, that water is a very important element for human sustenance. We use it every day for our physical needs. But also it has the antitype, that water represents the truth, the message of God, the hope for everlasting life. And you remember what the apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians, brethren, in the chapter on love, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love." So we have, on this side of the veil, to have faith and hope, and very strong faith and hope in the Lord's leadings. But above all, he mentions that in the meantime, we have to develop this love, with which we will not see God, brethren, if we do not develop it. To a certain extent, the law covenant was made with Israel was to be that hope for them. But through imperfection, they were unable to fill the law, which was thought to be unto life, but was found to be unto death, as the apostle tells us in Romans 7th chapter and the 10th verse. The tree that Moses cast into the waters to sweeten them represented another tree, as we read in Galatians 3:13, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." The tree represents the cross of Christ, the agency through which the waters of truth and divine law will become waters of grace and blessing for the world of mankind in the millennial age, as we have heard the brethren expound upon this during this convention. When they shall all be delivered from the bondage of Satan and sin represented by the slavery in Egypt. The cross of Christ. Jesus died on the cross, on the tree. The ransom paid. Canceled Adamic sin and condemnation against mankind, which eventually will permit the great mediator through God's promises to bring refreshing, as shown by the sweetened waters. They will be sweetened, brethren. They will leap for joy. And what sweet sounds we will hear of the singing in the kingdom of the blessings. The mothers receiving their children everyone receiving their loved ones from the grave. And instead of the brackish, we'll have the sweet to see the loved ones again. It merely waits for the completion of the sacrifices of the Day of Atonement. And then, we believe, when the ancient worthies are on the scene, and then this will be a further continuation of God's plan in fulfillment. Then, as they journeyed along, this brought them to Elim, where there were 12 fountains, or springs, and 70 palm trees, as we read in Exodus 15:27. It was a delightful resting place for them, symbolic of the blessings that we enjoy after our trials, brethren. And being in Israel, we know that it's hot there, and the traveling is... We had an air-conditioned bus, which was a great blessing to us, but if you could get under shade somewhere, and if you were journeying, it was a blessing. So there were 70 palm trees and 12 fountains, and the Lord blessed them. The 12 springs remind us of the 12 apostles, God's special gift for the blessings of the church, for our refreshment, and in turn, the church will bring refreshment for all mankind. And we are being taught and disciplined here, brethren, in our earthly pilgrimage, to be a blessing to others. How many have you blessed? How many have I blessed? Ask yourself that question, as Brother Albert asked at the beginning. Did we bless anyone? Or are we of the spirit that we just want blessings for ourselves? Very important. The 70 palm trees remind us of the 70 of whom our Lord commissioned, typifying the ministries of public service during the Gospel Age to its harvest or close. Ye shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come, Matthew 10:23. The 70 were directed to go into every city and to preach. We read this in Luke 10:1. The 70 were commissioned to go into every city in Israel and preach. It signifies that our mission is to all nations, brethren, to all peoples, wherever we find a hearing ear. Yet we will not accomplish all that our Lord will accomplish until he does that fully in the kingdom. What do we accomplish now? We accomplish, brethren, that we can gather, send out the message that we can gather any grains of wheat. And what else do we do? Anywhere that anyone is asking for literature, brethren, we send it to them. We seed sow the seed for the millennium. This is our work. Yes. We read in Reprints 26:45, the harvest message is also to be understood as limited in time, and the bearers of it are not to dally. They're not to linger around or waste time, but to exercise diligence, realizing that the time is short and that they shall have time, just enough time and no more time. And this is in Reprint 26:45, to go over all the cities of spiritual Israel before the grand consummation shall be reached and the Son of Man shall have completed the first part of his work, the collection of his saints. The jewel is a little flock, and thus the kingdom will be set up in power. Then we believe the mediatorial phase of the kingdom will begin. There are two phases of the kingdom, brethren. We believe with our Lord's return in 1874, the first operation was to raise the sleeping saints and to set up the heavenly phase of the kingdom. And it's operative in power now, beyond the veil, as we read in Volume 3. Our Lord is shaping the affairs of the earth. He is in control, brethren. And how happy we are that everything that we read in the paper or that we see on television, we know that we don't worry about that because our Lord is in control. And we're so happy for that. Sometimes we're impatient and want everything to be fulfilled immediately. But maybe that is not the Lord's plan. And what about ourselves, giving us time to make our calling and election sure, brethren? Even at this late date, brethren, in 1992, we believe that the truth is being spread wherever possible. In South America, as the 70 were commissioned to go out to preach, as we read in Luke 10:1. In Japan, in Romania, in the Ukraine, 4 years ago, we never dreamed that we would be publishing, publishing volumes. Never dreamt of that. And yet, by the Lord's direction, we have published 8 books and have sent close to 400 or 500 of them over to the Ukraine. Now, the truth, it's not the language, brethren. It's the idea that we can get it over there. We can't speak French, so the French brethren will look after the French, and the Spanish will look after the Spanish. But every brother and sister that has an opportunity should do what they can, as the 70 did, were commissioned to preach, and this is our commission, brethren. And is that all that we have to do? No, there's more. Wherever possible, to gather one here and one there who may have lost their crowns, and somebody else will take it. We are to learn that a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, food and raiment, but that life in the fullest, in the grandest sense, is dependent upon his complete submission to the divine will on any plane. More so, brethren, the church, but even so, on any plane. They will have to be dependent on submission to the Lord's will. And how important it is that we learn this lesson as soon as possible. His careful attention to every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In answer to the cry, God sent them bread from heaven for the Israelites. It wasn't baked. Nope. It wasn't cut into slices like now we go to the store and we want it sliced. No, it wasn't sliced. Was it buttered? No. No butter. What was it? But according to the Lord's usual way, he did for them what they could not do for themselves, brethren. And that's the way the Lord operates. How will the kingdom be set up? That the Lord is going to make this world of ours Eden by something miraculous? Oh, no. He is going to employ every person, and they're going to be happy to do something. They're going to be so happy. The manna that the Israelites received spoiled after 24 hours. When gathered on the sixth day, it would last for 48 hours so they could rest on the Sabbath. By this miracle, the Lord taught the Israelites faith in him as their great provider. Every morning, the ground was covered with small particles, whitish in color, a little larger than a mustard seed, very small, and tasting like a honey wafer, reprints 52, 78, and 79. This was their daily supply. It had to be gathered. They had to do something. He gave them employment. What were they to do in the wilderness? Just sit around? No. They had to go and pick up those little seeds and prepare them. Pick them up. And what does this recall to us, brethren? Does the truth come into our minds just any way at all? You've got to open up your volume. You've got to open up your Bible, and you've got to put something in here. You've got to pick it up. To be filled, brethren, with spiritual food, so that we may live spiritually. Unemployment or doing nothing could be very boring, and this daily work made them happy. Work makes a person happy, especially in Japan. They are taught, the workers in Japan are taught that They should enjoy work. Not, it shouldn't be drudgery. They should sing while they work. And I think this is the same with us, brethren. We should sing in the Lord's service. We should be happy to do something. It doesn't matter what. One could do one thing, one could do another. The seeds were small. It required preparation. There was a certain amount apportioned to each individual. A lesson of generosity went with the manna, that you didn't gather too much, just enough for yourself, because it would spoil anyway. And it didn't profit you if you gathered too much, because you couldn't use it. It would spoil. And the lesson there, brethren, is that we have to seek at least our portion daily for our spiritual welfare. If we read a lot on Tuesday and don't read any more till Sunday, that's not what the Lord intended the picture to show us. He wants us to pick it on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, every day of the week. And the pastor suggested that if we read 12 pages a day, we could read the volumes in 1 year. This is the lesson, brethren. They did not know what the Lord had in store for them and did not expect this miracle. They asked, "What is it?" Which meant it was manna. It fell from heaven. It fell from the sky. And where does all our information come from, brethren? The law shall go forth from Zion. We receive all our instructions, brethren, from heaven. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in order that we may live. On Friday, they picked enough to last for Saturday for 2 days, and as it did not spoil. This is another lesson in itself. Every Christian is to gather heavenly manna, heavenly truth for himself each day. We start our day by reading the heavenly manna to give us spiritual food, spiritual refreshment. Some brethren set aside an hour or two of study each day. And if we don't, brethren, this may be a sign that we are really not spiritually minded. If we love television more than reading a portion of God's Word, this could be a sign for us, brethren, that we're not really interested in this manna. We must do our part along spiritual lines as well as along earthly lines. We have to supply for both. We have to work for a living, and it's a reasonable service, as the apostle tells us. There's nothing. It's going to become a miracle. You have to go out there and work. The only miracle we can expect is, as shown in the quails, that if we do not have enough for daily bread and we ask the Father, and I'm sure He'll arrange something, brethren, that they will find employment, they will find help, they'll find something. And if not, we still have to trust in His guidance. The graces of the Holy Spirit cannot be expected to come to perfection without preparatory planting, pruning, and cultivation, even as far as our growth as new creatures is concerned. We read, we have a trial, we cry, we go further, we get upset, and then we rejoice. We learn the lessons, brethren, stepping stones, as we may call them, to run the race, brethren. We've come to the first quarter, and then we come to the second quarter, and to the third quarter, and to the fourth quarter. To grow strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we must feed upon Him daily. We must appreciate and appropriate the merits of His sacrifice to ourselves daily, not merely one day a week, but as Jesus says, that we have to seek the bread which proceeded out of the mouth of God. Manna was from heaven, and so was the truth from heaven. We know that our Lord Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6, 32 to 35. And then we read in reprints 3:32 and Matthew 14, 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them and healed them. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus says unto them, Give ye them to eat. Who are the ye? These are the consecrated brethren that know God's plan, that know all the doctrines of the plan. Not only are we to be guided, brethren, by love, which is very essential, but we should know all the doctrines that are in the Bible. And I believe that each class, the elders should practice that they have spiritual discourses and also doctrinal discourses. And sometimes there's a leaning more to just spiritual. But we should have everything, brethren, that we may be rounded out. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that we may have to know the truth in its fullest. So we are to give them to eat. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We have the truth. We publish the message for them. We put out the tracts. We put it on radio programs, television programs. Give the world something. Give them something to eat, brethren. Let them have taste of this, what we have tasted of. Let them have a tract and be happy. And from the hundreds of letters that we have received, brethren, they are rejoicing overwhelmingly that the truth has reached them. We don't stop. Never. As we have been fed by this man, our Lord says, Give ye them to eat. There was a multitude there. And the Lord fed them, and it was a miracle. And it's also a miracle what the truth will do when we send it out to others. And they that had eaten were about 5,000, besides the men and women. So probably there were 10,000 people that the Lord fed. At that one occasion, we have received the bread from heaven. Let us pass it on to others. Give ye them to eat. And our secondary work, brethren, our first work, I should say, is that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That the brethren present discourses and studies, brethren, which are going to build the classes, which will be built on a sound foundation, that we want to know both what is scripturally sound and all that we find in the Bible in regards to chronology, in regards to the jubilees, in regards to the rain, in regards to the harvest, in regards to spiritual uplifting. We have to know all of this and have a study. Yes, we run into problems, brethren, but if we do, just set it aside and have a further study on it. Because some classes have even split on some issues. I don't think that is good. Brethren, our time is running out and we have so much to say. But we will close on this and just remember that the Israelites received manna. We have received the manna. And it was good. They had it for 40 years. And the manna represents to us present truth. In the spiritual sense. The quails represent our physical requirements. Only that which we need, because some have gone beyond and we read, brethren, that some ate too much quail and they died. Representing, brethren, that if we get tangled with earthly affairs, we could die as new creatures in Christ. Dear brethren, it's our pleasure to be here with you, to see you, and I'm going to tell you what I wrote down. Brother Albert said to write something down, and what I wrote was to see the brethren. Two words. And my second thought that I put down was spiritual blessings. This has been accomplished for me. I'm so happy. So happy to see the brethren, as Brother Carl mentioned. This is our joy, to be built up. May we feed on this manna which has come from heaven. The grand revelation, brethren, of God's plan to us. The beautiful message that we have for mankind. And let us be employed, not unemployed. But they have to pick it every morning, those little seeds. And how much, if anyone does anything as far as printing or helping the brethren, how much midnight oil you have to use, how much correction you have to make, how much little jobs that sisters have to do, and everything has to be done. It's a small work, but yet it's so important. Let us help one another. Coming to a convention, visiting our brethren, saying hi to them, and don't forget the young brethren. We just had a study on that in Winnipeg. Both young and old. Let's help them. Let's feed on the bread which has come down to us from heaven. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Walter, for your lesson on quails and manna. And beautiful lessons from the nation of Israel. And how we can apply these lessons to our lives. And also just very good practical points that we can use in our everyday walk. We appreciate those very much. Well, brethren, it's time for the review. To pull out your little pieces of paper now and see whether you attained your goals. As Brother Albert suggested, you write them down. And maybe you can just take a look at them. And I've got similar answers to Brother Walter here. Spiritual blessings we've certainly received to try and give some blessings. And we've certainly received a lot more blessings than we gave. The fellowship has been wonderful. The spiritual doctrines from the platform. The knowledge that we have gained of the truth has been beneficial, and I'm sure you've got very similar answers as well. And it's been a wonderful convention, and we appreciate that little quiz, Brother Albert, to begin with, and how it sort of carried the theme all the way through. And hopefully we can leave here and to use a lot of this information that we have received about the truth and the experiences with our brethren, the fellowship, and that can help us in our walk as we walk this narrow way. Just before we sing the last few verses of Hymn 100, we thought it'd be appropriate if Brother Daniel just close the convention with a couple of remarks. Brother Dan.
In the name of local ecclesia, I would like to express our gratitude to all of you for coming, for making this convention work. Every year when the convention is over, I have a feeling this was the best convention we ever had. And this year, truly, I have the same feeling. This was the best one, and I'm thankful to you for making this convention work and making one of the best ones in the history of Vancouver Ecclesia. And I cannot help not to mention when Brother Carl yesterday mentioned about a battle which is going on here, and he mentioned about some of the excuses we could make to stay home. Because it's very easy to make excuses, but thank you to all of you for not making these excuses and coming at this place and fighting together a good fight. I would like to express our gratitude especially to brethren speakers, to these brethren who supply us with the spiritual food, especially the ones who came from far and due to different difficulties and sicknesses like Brother Carol and different ones. Nevertheless, they came here and they supply us with this wonderful food. And just like Brother Jared this morning said, that he wished that he could touch somebody's heart. And I know that the brethren speakers, they touched my heart. So when I go home, I can be a better person. I hope to be a better husband and better employer and better employee. So I think that this convention has been very successful in this aspect, that it touches our hearts and it helps us to be a better person. And I know, and you know, that every one of us wants to be good, wants to be the best. And thankful to all of you, brethren, for your admonitions to help us to develop a proper character. I would like to also say thank you to these brothers and sisters who look after young people program, because there was a program for young people at the room in the back, that they sacrificed their time with us here to prepare something and share and teach the young ones. We are hoping to have two groups of children and teenagers, but work out to one group. But I tell you, I can say that the kids were really, really happy, and they were really, it was really beneficial to them. I would like to also, I guess in name of all you brethren, say thank you to local sisters who prepare wonderful food, and I guess nobody can complain. If anyone wants to complain, come to me first. And I also would like to say how much we appreciate the service of the young ones who serve at the table, tea and coffee. It was really nice to see their zeal and their energy in doing it. So in closing, I just would like to tell you that I'm very happy to see you, and I was really happy to shake your hands and saying welcome, and now it's a bit sad time to say goodbye, but see you next year, and hopefully, if Lord's willing, we will meet again next year. Thank you again.
Brennan, can we close with the last two verses of hymn 100? Maybe we could rise singing that. Dismiss us in prayer and also ask the blessing upon the temporal portion before us.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee.
We wish to thank thee for this 2 days of spiritual feasting. Thank thee for the manna that has been provided for us from thy table. Thank thee for the fellowship of the brethren. Thank thee for the lessons that are necessary for us, as they were for the children of Israel in the wilderness, that we have to continue to learn the lessons of trust and obedience in thee. That we may learn that in thee is all our trust, and that we shall continue to eat that bread from heaven, which represents all the teachings that are found in thy word, of the prophets, the Old Testament, from thy Son, from the apostles. This is our fountain, thy word, given us through them, that this may be our daily portion. And whatever admonitions are found in thy word, that we may apply them to us, that we may make further progress, that we may end our journey and reach the heavenly Canaan, which is before us. We thank thee for thy mercies. We're mindful of all the dear brethren the world over who are at conventions such as this, that thou will bless them. We pray for the blessings of the summer, that we may take advantage of more conventions and maybe see other brethren and share the blessings with them. We ask forgiveness for our shortcomings. We thank thee for all these arrangements, for the efforts of the brethren here, for their labors of love. And giving thee thanks for all this, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.